spin me like I have already spoken, like a spoke holds its tension. Like it's together that the spokes are the invention of a wheel, that a wheel is only as round as its tension, that a wheel is a round invention. She gets on her bicycle.
Oh, the marvelous sound of Evelyn Perry, and she rides. Good morning, Smithers. You're listening to Totally Spoked on CICK 93.9 FM in Smithers, BC, and I'm your host, Christine Bruce. In this episode, we'll ask the questions, when is bike infrastructure only a surrogate solution, and when should we press for better? I'm going to be speaking with Erica Hogland and Alan Kindrat, two civil engineers from WSP, on the recent announcement that our Cycle 16 Trail has won a provincial award. I appreciate Erica and Alan's hard work on this project, but even more, their work on a little petition they've been circulating on the Active Transportation Plan. Ready? Go get your walking shoes, your bicycle, your skateboard, your snowshoes, whatever active transportation mode you choose, and let's set out.
As I pedal through the streets, spinning to the rhythm of 4.5 million heartbeats. And I tend to miss my turn offs when I'm tuned in.
Alan and Erica, it's a real pleasure to have you on Totally Spoked. The work you guys have done in the background that people don't, they acknowledge, but they don't know who did it. It's pretty astonishing. Let me start with introductions. Tell people who you are and what it is that you do.
Yeah, my name is Erica Hogland. I'm a civil engineer in town. At work, I'm lucky enough that I get to design a little bit of cycling infrastructure, like Cycle 16 I've been able to help with. I also design more civil infrastructure like water and wastewater treatment facilities. And outside of work, I'm passionate about cycling. I think it's the best way to get around. I'm incredibly frugal. I hate motor vehicles. And so like cycling is a natural option. And in Smithers, it's in my opinion, the most convenient way to get around. And so I want to see more cycling in Smithers, and I'm happy to support and help make that happen in any way I can.
Yeah, and my name is Alan Kindrat. I am also a civil engineer who works in town, who has had the fortune of being part of the Cycle 16 project for over 5 years now. But I'm also an advocate for active transportation in the community. I've got two young children at home, and it was really when I had kids that I started to realize how poor our infrastructure is for cycling and how important it is to have separated facilities so that kids can navigate our streets safely, and that's why we're doing what we're doing.
If you listen to Totally Spoke at all, you'll notice that I've started saying, would you put an 8-year-old on this? Because it's often when you talk about the children, who we all feel are more vulnerable than anyone else, even though they're not, they're just not as capable of making those decisions when they get into a situation. And often I get into conversations, oh yeah, I never thought about it that way. So it's not surprising to me that you say I became aware when I had kids. Let's turn to the Cycle 16 Trail. People are familiar with the trail, but for those who haven't used it, where is it and why did we make such an effort to install it in the first place?
Cycle 16 is a 3-meter wide separated bike multi-use path that goes from downtown Smithers to downtown Telqua. And it was a community-led project, so there was individuals in our community that thought that was a priority, and they advocated hard and fundraised and made the project happen. It was totally grassroots, and so in our role as engineers, we've been able to support that project and help it along. But the initiative totally came from the community.
That's really what gave Cycle 16 its strength, was the many years that Cycle 16 Trail Society had spent building really what is a social license for the project, and that is what allowed the local governments to agree to support it and ultimately take it over. Last year, actually, the project was taken over by the Ministry of Transportation, which was part of their new active transportation capital program, a brand new program in the province, and they really are setting a precedent with projects like Cycle 16, and it's really exciting to see that come to fruition.
I think the proudest moment for me is all the grassroots work that happens in Smithers. There's so many events here, there's so many opportunities that we see. We all see the potential, and people just jump in and do it. Like the old church that we're standing beside. People decided that they needed to rebuild this thing because it had so much potential. I've been reading that sign up front, and I'm so touched by it. I think the trail itself is just another indication of how great Smithers is for that. So the talk of the town among active transportation people is the news that the trail project has won an award. So it's an award in excellence in planning practice. Explain what that means from an engineering perspective.
Well, it was an award given by the Planning Institute of BC and the Regional District of Bulkley Nechaco, Cycle 16 Trail Society, and WSP Canada were all recipients of the award. And it really goes to show that all the planning that went into the Cycle 16 project was something that was truly unique and worth recognizing on a provincial level. And we just feel lucky to have been a part of it.
I would correct that, and forgive me for doing this, but truly unique in BC maybe, but around the world there are a lot of initiatives like this falling into place, right? Like in Amsterdam and Paris right now, and many places in Europe where they totally get it. And I've been watching Canada, Ontario, Quebec, now BC, for years thinking, come on, you can do it. So I'm really excited to see this trail because it demonstrates that we are considering things from a world-class view. And I understand that we've won some international recognition regarding the trail as well.
There was a publication, ITS International, who did an interview with us on what Cycle 16 has been able to achieve and where that the Cycle 16 project has created a bit of a model in which can be replicated elsewhere in the province and actually is being replicated both on the Sunshine Coast, and there's a project on Highway 35 just south of Burns Lake where they're looking at what Cycle 16 had done to try and have that same level of success. And so the ITS International article was looking at kind of the broader picture and how the Cycle 16 model can be replicated elsewhere.
Great. I also have heard people dreaming, maybe we could do this out to Whitsett and Hazleton. Well, it's no longer a dream. Let's do it. Let's just lobby for it because
we would love to see it.
Wouldn't it be great? I'm a big advocate for active transportation and was impressed with the work being done here, both on the Cycle 16 Trail, but also with our Smithers Active Transportation Plan. So I want to turn to that now. Both of these I consider world-class level. However, when Town Council voted to return the $30,000 in grant money to get public engagement on the Third Avenue infrastructure, a lot of us went into action. So for one thing, you guys set up a petition. Tell us about that.
Yeah, you bet. So we, in our professional work, we were a candidate to complete that design. So we were familiar with the project and council's decision, and we were incredibly disappointed, just as Smithers residents, to see the decision that council made. The project wasn't going to build any infrastructure, and it wasn't going to cost any money. It was just an opportunity to talk to business owners and the community to see what level of service and how much interest there'd be, any concerns. And so we were very disappointed in council's decision, and so we took it upon ourselves to spread the word about the project and see if we could gather enough community support to encourage council to revisit the project and potentially get the project back on track. That doesn't necessarily mean that the project's going to get built. Like, at this point, we're just advocating that they continue to take the next steps to see what the best option is for Smithers and what the community and business owners, what's going to support them best.
Yeah, and one thing that we're finding is that a lot of people weren't actually even aware that the project had been canceled. And so this has been a bit of an informative task as well, where we're helping inform the community on the decisions that the town has made and really trying to spark conversation and have people think about this a little more carefully and collect feedback and input from everybody so that we can present it to council to give them more information on how the community feels about this project.
I think it's really important to get public engagement. Even if you don't put it in, at least you've got a sense of what people want. And we wouldn't have that plan if some people didn't want it at least. So I think public engagement is critical at this stage. So I was really disappointed.
I mean, if there's a listener-supported radio station, it means that people can get
daily, every day, a different way of looking at the world, not just what the corporate media want you to see, but a different picture, a different understanding, but a different picture, a different understanding. Not only can you hear it, but you can participate in it. You can add your own thoughts, you know, and you can learn something and so on. Well, that's the way, people become human, you know. That's the way you become human participants in a social and political system.
feeling on my two-wheel steed as I pick up speed.
You are listening to Totally Spoked on CICK 93.9 FM in Smithers, BC, and I'm Christine Bruce. Before the break, Erica Hoglund and Alan Kindrat of WSP joined me outside Smithers Old Church for a classic visit on a sunny summer morning. We met to celebrate the Excellence in Planning Award recently presented to their employer WSP, to the Cycle 16 Trail Society, and to the Regional District of Bulkley-Nechako for their collaboration on our Cycle 16 Trail. This trail is getting a lot of attention across the province, and we should be very proud at this moment. Erica and Alan and I also discussed their work as civil engineers in advising town council on our active transportation plan, and their disappointment when the town set aside the section for public engagement on the 3rd Avenue infrastructure. Erica and Alan have set up a petition to get the council to restart the conversation, and we'll go back to that petition in a minute, but first I'm going to pick Alan and Erica's brains on the theory behind active transportation infrastructure. I've got four questions for them, the answers to which may surprise you. You'll hear Erica refer to treats at the end of the road. She's referring there to our very popular Rustica Bakery rides, which bakery is nestled in a side road off the highway, easily accessed now with the Cycle 16 Trail. Every Saturday, loads of people ride out to the bakery for a sweet or savory treat to start their weekend. What a lovely place I live in. I'd also like to pick your engineer's brains for a minute to understand the theory behind active transportation infrastructure. Are you guys familiar with the organization called People for Bikes?
No, I'm not.
I follow a lot of people on social media. So Kieran Herbert and Martina Hegarty offer 15 suggestions in their bike advocacy playbook, which they describe as a research-based fact sheet, and I'd like your opinion on four of them. Here are the comments. If you build it, people will bike. True?
Absolutely. I think we're seeing that with Cycle 16 right now, is there's a lot more people biking than they were previously because there wasn't a safe way for them to commute into town or just traverse through the community. And now that that's in place, we're seeing a lot more use.
Yeah, and to add to that, when you're on Cycle 16, you'll see demographics that you might not have expected to see out there, right? So it's pulling in people who might have felt uncomfortable cycling on the highway, or people that wouldn't have thought of cycling as a transportation option, but with safe, comfortable infrastructure and treats at the end of the road, it's been able to draw in more people and open their eyes to the options of how you can get around.
And it's giving people another option for recreation, too. Not everyone's using it to get somewhere. A lot of people are using it to just get on their bike and go ride safely, separated from vehicles.
I know BB Velo made a post a couple of weeks ago, the local cycling club here in town, that they were very thankful for Cycle 16 as a link to get onto some of the back roads around town. So it's being heavily used by all demographics.
Another comment I'd like to make is that the Princess Street upgrades, they asked for public input on it, and somebody's comment was, well, we don't need that here because we never see bicycles. And my comment, it was to them on Totally Spoke, if you build it, people will come.
Yeah. Yeah, and what the Princess Street project came down to was they were rebuilding a street, and they were going to rebuild it to the town's bylaw, which would have put on-street parking on both sides of the street. When you spend time on Princess, you can see pretty quickly that there isn't demand for full on-street parking on a residential street like that. And so we advocated to the town and also conducted the public consultation to suggest that they remove one lane of parking and give that hardscaping to a wider sidewalk, ultimately a multi-use path. And we're very pleased to see that that's what the community decided to move ahead with, and look forward to seeing that additional part of the network completed.
I knew you guys were behind that. It's lovely.
Part of this 3rd Ave project, too, so to finish our campaign, we're planning on presenting our information and support to council at the August 12th council meeting. And of course, we're going to request that they revisit this study, but I would like to, and I haven't talked to Alan about this, but I would also like to to request that council expands their view on what mobility can be in Smithers and how we use our streets. And so this was a really good example of Smithers Council being a little bit set in their ways and how they think about mobility. And so I think it's a good opportunity to bring it to their attention that, like, there's opportunities all around the community to make changes. And the community, based on the support that we've gathered, supports active transportation. And so when there's opportunities to make improvements, like what we did on Princess Street, or any time you have to dig up a road to replace a water main, or any time you pave a new road, I would request that they try to take this broader view of what our streets can do and how they can serve people. And so maybe there's a bit of a bigger request for Smithers and how they see mobility here in Smithers.
I know that there are people who like to take their skateboards out. I also know, because I'm part of the roller derby girls, that they love to get out on their roller skates. And if they had a multi-use path, they would use it.
Right? Bet.
So I agree with you. Okay, here's the next one. Protected bike lanes are better than sharrows or standard bike lanes.
You bet. The more separation that you can have from vehicles, the better. Like when you think about a six-year-old kid riding next to a F-350 pickup truck, it's pretty obvious that a paint line on the road isn't going to offer the same amount of support as curb and gutter or physical separation. Sharrows, on the other hand, have been shown in some studies to decrease safety because it gives cyclists a bit of a sense of safety and that they have priority and a spot on the road, but vehicles don't see sharrows that way, and so vehicles continue to travel as they always do, and cyclists are more vulnerable because they're on that road space with the vehicles.
I did say that to a couple of counselors once. Oh, look at the sharrows. Aren't you happy? Like, they're always trying to pander to me. You know, aren't you happy? Well, it's a start, I say. And they look surprised. And yes. I say, would you put a six-year-old on that with all that traffic? Oh.
So we have some sharrows in town on 3rd Avenue. And yep. So I'm not totally stoked on the sharrows. But something that is really good is that we also have a 30-kilometer speed limit on 3rd Avenue. Now, I don't know how well that's followed, but speed of traffic on roads is a huge indicator of safety too. Like, separated infrastructure is excellent, and that allows for fast moving vehicles and cyclists to move safely on the road. But by slowing down vehicles, you can have less separation and less infrastructure and still have safe cycling. So there's many approaches to increasing safety. It doesn't have to be these expensive infrastructure projects. Slower speed limits is also a great way to reduce danger for cyclists and pedestrians.
I would still like to see fewer cars on there, though.
No, you bet.
Number 3, bike lanes and trails are good for business. Now, business people always argue this, but I say, when I'm on my bike, I can't carry as much home, so I have to come back. So I shop more than once a week, which isn't that great for business?
Yeah, I think there's a number of studies that have shown that in downtown cores or urban environments that are cyclist and pedestrian friendly, you get more foot traffic in your business, and ultimately it's good for business. And I think that there's a lot of misconceptions with that, and there's a lot of concerns around the removal of street parking on 3rd Avenue and how that'll affect businesses, and we don't take those concerns lightly. We do understand that there is a need for parking, and we believe that removal of street parking will cause some challenges, but those challenges can be solved. But the benefits that come from it far outweigh those challenges. And increased foot traffic is one of the benefits, but really the number one thing that we see as being the most important is improving safety.
True.
Yeah. Anecdotally, from my experience riding my bike around most days for most trips, I definitely find it easier to stop and park and go into places if I'm on my bike versus in my car. In my car, I might be inclined to just get home as fast as I can. On my bike, if there's something happening that draws my attention, it's no inconvenience for me to pull over for a second. So,
well, you're also moving at a slower pace, and so you've got more time to think about it. Oh, that dress, I saw that dress, I should go in.
Yeah.
You know, I just find it so much easier to shop when I'm on my bicycle. Mm-hmm.
And I think the community is interacting more, too. You know, they're passing each other by, and they're talking, and it just, I think, leads to a healthier community.
There's something really remarkable about being able to say good morning to somebody that you don't know. They look surprised, and then they return it. And then the next time you see it, you've built a relationship, which is a strengthening of our community. Why would you say no to that, right? Okay, the last one. More bike infrastructure can benefit drivers, too.
Yeah, one of the biggest pieces of feedback that we continually receive is frustration or concern about cyclists not following the rules of the road. And, you know, we recognize that as a challenge and a problem for people in the community, for drivers and for cyclists. And more education is certainly something that could help, but also creating separated infrastructure to keep cyclists and motor vehicles separate is also going to go a long way, because that'll reduce conflicts. If cyclists actually have an area to bike that they know is dedicated for them, then there will be less conflicts between motor vehicles and cyclists, and that will help reduce those concerns in the community.
If our dreams come to fruition too, I would hope to see that some of the people who choose a vehicle for everyday trips might switch modes to being on bicycles, and as we get less cars on the road, you'll feel less congestion and less inconvenience. So I think that there's many ways where getting people onto bikes and having safer infrastructure can make driving more pleasant for everybody.
Right. Also, fewer cars means better air quality, less noise pollution. Like, it's a nicer place to be.
You bet.
Totally, yeah. One of the other common things that we're hearing, and I think this is universal, I don't know that we've really come across anybody who doesn't agree on this point, that Third Avenue doesn't feel safe.
Yeah.
Third Avenue is congested. And those are both true and almost universally agreed to. Not everyone agrees to why it's unsafe. And not everybody agrees on what the solution is to make it safer. But we feel that the removal of street parking will drastically reduce congestion, because there will be fewer vehicles on the road, and the sight lines will be improved. The actual travel lane width for vehicles will be adequate, because currently it's inadequate with on-street parking. And so all these factors will improve to a drastically safer street. And so that's a big part of what we're trying to educate people on as well.
Great points, thank you.
Right now, our streets are highly designed for vehicles. If you look at Smithers' typical cross-section for what the rules are for how we build new roads here, you have two driving lanes, two on-street parking lanes, which takes up 11 meters, and you get a 1.5-meter sidewalk. And so if you look at it, just in space alone, we're designing space, we're building space for vehicles and vehicles only, almost. And so if we continue to build that way, if we prioritize street parking downtown and we're not willing to remove any parking spots, and if we make sure our lanes are wide so that everybody feels comfortable in their car and they can drive 50 kilometers an hour through our downtown and feel safe, then we're going to get a downtown that's full of cars. And I think from our perspective, and a lot of the advocates and supporters of this project, is we want our downtown to feel like a space for people to walk around, to sit on benches, to meet people in your community, to say hello to your friends. And so when we design infrastructure like this, we're doing a lot more than just making it safer for cyclists. We're trying to set an atmosphere and a tone and attract people into our downtown and make it a place that you want to live.
So a couple of years ago, they were looking for feedback on what we liked the best about downtown. And everybody was saying we like being able to go over and have a coffee at Bugwood because it's an open air. Everybody shows up on their bicycle.
So
that's what people want.
Mm-hmm. And you see people sitting out front of UFO on the sidewalks and tables there and socializing. And those little spaces, they're not huge. There's still lots of space for cars and parking on Main Street. But those little spaces is what makes Smithers feel special.
Yes.
And I think it's worth pointing out, too, that, I think we can agree that Bugwood has become a bit of a cornerstone of our community, of our downtown. Bugwood was originally opposed. There was a lot of opposition in the town that pushed back against Bugwood. And we see that often in our community, where there's resistance to change. But once we allow change, it often becomes universally adopted as, the cornerstone of our community. And we feel that if we're sitting here 5 years from now and the protected bike lanes have been in for a number of years and our downtown is more thriving and safer for our kids, we'll look back at that and it'll be a no-brainer as well.
Yeah. Won't that be fun? I'm looking forward to that.
Another great example of projects that were opposed initially, Alan Cormier shared this with me, the president of Cycle 16, a couple weeks ago, is in the 70s when the town chose to upgrade Main Street to have more benches and vegetation, people were against that as well. So back then, it was just a straight road with narrow sidewalks, and people didn't want that to leave. But looking at our Main Street now, nobody would say, well, get rid of the trees.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Okay, one last question. Let's go back to the petition. If somebody wants to sign that puppy, how do they find it?
it's you can find it in a number of locations around town. There's some posters up, as well as physical petitions at McBike or Dance Sports. We've also got them in the windows of a number of businesses like Big Smiles, and there's a QR code on that where you can scan it and sign the petition. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook at Third Ave Bike Lanes, and you can find the petition that way as well.
Okay.
We, as mentioned by Erica, are planning on presenting to Council on August 12th. We are doing a delegation to present the results of our initiative. One thing that we would ask, if you're a supporter of the initiative, of the project, if you could come to that council meeting, it makes a big difference. If we can fill the council chambers with supporters, then that's going to go a long way in helping convince council to restart this project.
You know what to do. Thank you so much, you guys, for everything that you've done in town and for joining me on Totally mm-hmm. Spoke today.
Well, thanks, Christine. It's been a pleasure to chat with you, and you've been a huge advocate for this project and cycling and Smithers as well.
Don't anger an older woman.
We truly appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks. Right now, I'm reading a book called Bikeonomics, How Bicycling Can Save the Economy by Ellie Blue. Sounds dreadful, doesn't it? Well, it's not, I promise you. This book fills me with hope, with lots of suggestions for advocates like me to encourage both big and small changes in a community. Here's my favorite suggestion. Blue talks about a tour she was invited to in 2013 in Detroit, Michigan, called Dinner and Bikes. What she describes is a combination of food, bicycling, and building community that really spoke to people. I'm just going to read you a little bit of this because I loved it. The Detroit Bike and Brunch delegation radiated positivity, openness, and determination. Meeting them, I knew I had to step up my game. What's the good of trying to change the world if you're too grumpy to enjoy the small pleasures of a meal, a bike ride, and a good conversation along the way? I asked Keeler if she could measure her group's economic impact. There are the brunches themselves, she said. The group can fill half a restaurant and drop over $225 before tip, adding up to a good morning in Detroit's sleepy service sector. Even more valuably, they spread the word about the restaurants they visit through their robust social media presence in ways that are beyond the ability of most of the businesses themselves. Two restaurants in particular have developed a regular following among Bike and Brunch members, who discovered them on rides and brought their friends and family back later. The group is growing and changing. In the first year, most of the riders were 20-something African-Americans. When I met them in 2013, it was beginning to diversify in age and ethnicity. They welcome anyone who wants to join, regardless of gender, religion, race, ethnicity, sexuality, socioeconomic status, dietary needs, health levels, or physical abilities. The group's only rule, besides safe and legal bicycling, is stated on its website. No negativity whatsoever. The regular rider's abilities are changing quickly. Clark, for example, stuck with the group after her first 6-mile victory. Since becoming a DBB member, I can proudly say that I've been able to ride up to 30 miles in one trip, she wrote. Cycling isn't just a hobby anymore. It's a way of life. And that's it for this episode of Totally Spoked on CICK 93.9 FM in Smithers, BC. I'm Christine Bruce, and I thank you for listening. I want to thank Erica Hoglund and Alan Kindrat, both for the charming conversation we shared by the old church this morning, and more importantly, for all the hard work they're putting into this petition to convince our town council to reconsider hosting public engagement on the 3rd Avenue infrastructure. I encourage you to visit McBike or Dan Sports to find out more about this petition, and ultimately, I'd love it if you'd sign it. Erica, Allen, and I also encourage everyone to attend the August 12th Town Council meeting with WSP, who will be doing a delegation on the data they've collected this summer. And our conversation continues. In the next episode, I'm going to pose similar questions to Alan Cormier, current president of the Cycle 16 Trail Society. Alan Cormier's perspective was also worth hearing. See you then, Active Transportation Bunnies.